Hello, and welcome to this episode of Exposition, the Arts and Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Ella Tinsley, and joining me in the studio today is Dr. Frank Narat, here to talk about his upcoming world premiere, The Operator. Hi, welcome in, Dr. Narat.
Hi, I'm happy to be here today.
And so you have a world premiere coming up. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. Thanks for having me come and chat about this a little bit. So March 3rd, the SEMO Symphony Orchestra, directed by Dr. Patrick Hopkins, will be playing a few awesome pieces. And at the beginning of the program, he'll be premiering a brand new piece that I wrote for the orchestra called The Operator.
Mm-hmm. And why that title? Because it's very, it draws the eye in a way.
Yeah, so the name of the title actually refers to my inspiration for the non-musical inspiration for the piece. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Slender Man is? Do you know about Slender
yes!
Man?
Yes! Oh okay. My gosh, when I saw it, that was my first thought.
Oh, okay,
was
good.
The analog horror kind of.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so I'm glad that you know the Slender Man's one of his original names, which is The mm-hmm. Operator. So yeah, The Operator is Slender Man. So if you know what Slender Man is, then you know who The Operator is. But for your listeners who, are too young maybe to, or not in the know.
Don't say that. Too young for Slender Man.
Hey, how do you think I feel being a professor here? But yeah, so Slender Man or The Operator is like this internet folk monster. And I say
cryptid
internet.
Cryptid kind of thing.
Yeah. Because it kind of emerged on the internet. First, it was like a drawing. And then there was this internet series called Marble Hornets all about mm-hmm. it. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I love Marble Hornets.
Yeah.
And it evolved into a game. And there's this whole sub-fandom culture around it.
So. Yeah, it's so cool. And so Slender Man or The Operator is this entity that seemingly seems to be able to kind of control the people around him to mm-hmm. kind of do his bidding. And there's even some, kind of terrifying real world stuff. We don't need to talk about that right now
because,
that's not fun. But so the piece was the non-musical ideas kind of came from that internet folklore.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's so fun.
Yeah. And I don't want to give too much away, but I will say that the piece has a kind of a collaborative component to it where we're actually working with student actors from the theater department. And I think there's actually 13 or 14 actors from the theater department who are going to be on stage and maybe elsewhere, maybe in the audience.
Oh.
To kind of play out this narrative that's mm-hmm. going to be happening. There's not going to be any talking or anything, but there is sort of a theatrical narrative to go along with the symphonic music that you'll be hearing. And that's just part of my goal as a composer mm-hmm. in recent years. I have to compete with video games,
of course,
and movies and TV and YouTube. For better or worse, it is what it is. I have to compete with that. And I think that it's not fair also to expect my audiences to just sit and listen to music for, however long they have to do that. Music is inherently a social thing. Mm-hmm. And, as far as musicologists can tell, it's I'm kind of talking outside of my expertise here, but I can say this with some confidence, music was used as part of social rituals and dancing. It was very rarely just like it is now in some cases where musicians on stage make sound in the direction of audience.
Right.
That's a pretty modern thing. That's something that emerged in the past couple hundred years. Mm-hmm. And music's been around a little bit longer than that. So I'm trying to make music more engrossing and more social. But again, I do have to compete with those other engrossing art forms like video games and whatnot. So that's where kind of collaborating with theater folks to kind of say, hey, let's make the audience wake up and sit on the edge of their seat.
And be part of this.
Yeah. And the audience, may or may not have, a little bit of participation in some way. But I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, that's everything I'm hearing. I'm super excited about.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the more musical inspirations as well.
Sure.
I know we talked about the non-musical, but for our arts and culture element checkbox to be fulfilled, let's talk about some of that.
Yeah, so the musical and non-musical inspirations for this piece in particular are pretty inseparable. And what I mean by that is the component where there's this sort of monstrous entity who's mm-hmm. who can control people, that is represented musically by these overlapping mechanical rhythms that, for your musically inclined folks, kind of presents itself with polymeter, mm-hmm. where you have different time signatures happening at the same time. And that sort of represents machinery of industry.
Right.
And so you're getting repetition to the point of almost being uncomfortable mm-hmm. and dissonance almost to the point of being uncomfortable. And that's kind of representing sort of the monstrosity of the operator of Slender Man and how he can control people, and the people he's controlling aren't even really aware that he's doing that. And that's kind of juxtaposed, set right beside really you know, hopefully beautiful sounding melodies and right. harmonic motion that kind of represent the peace that the people who are sort of being exploited are searching
right, the
for.
The bliss of ignorance kind of thing of just like.
Maybe. I'll let you decide that when you hear it.
Yeah. I'm not the best with words. That's...
No, that makes sense. I'm just trying. I don't want to give too much away. I want everybody listening to go and see the concert, support our students. And,
of course.
And I mean, it's going to be more than just my piece. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I'm going to pick your brain just a little bit
please
more,
do.
Where did this idea strike you?
It was actually my brother-in-law who told me about Marble Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where sort of the operator / Slender Man kind of one of the originating stories is this internet series called Marble Hornets. He told me about it because I live in Jackson. I was walking my dog at the park and there's this weird like crater in the park. It's not, I don't know if it's actually a crater, but it's like this huge dip
mm-hmm.
and there's a bunch of trees in it. And so you can't really see down into it. I'm always just kind of mesmerized by it. I'm like, what's down there?
Right.
Right. And so like I sent him a video or something of it and it was kind of creepy looking. And he was like, oh, this reminds me of Marble Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, what's
that? It's a
little
unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, it's a bunch of found footage stuff, mm-hmm. Marble Hornets. So he kind of was reminded of it. And that was at a time when I wasn't like actually coming up with musical ideas for the piece. That was my period of procrastination / brainstorming. So mm-hmm. this was after sort of watching Marble Hornets. I was like, how could I make the audience for this orchestra piece that I need to write and get done soon? It hit me. I was like, how could I make the audience feel the way that I'm feeling while watching this musically and theatrically? And so that was kind of the genesis of everything.
Most of the things that I see that are modernly inspired and things like that that come from pop culture usually mm-hmm. they always have the most fun kind of roots, mm-hmm. I think. But what's next for you after this?
So there's a few things in the works. One big thing that's on the radar, we were talking about off air. There's a short story podcast that I produce and compose music for called mm-hmm. Tiny Tales. And there hasn't been an episode that's come out in a while because we're working on a big 3-part episode. And we're getting voice acting from theater professors and music professors. And we're working with other students in the music department and whatnot to kind of bring this to life. So hopefully that'll be out by this summer. And so that's kind of mm-hmm. the next big creative thing I'm working on. So Tiny Tales, check it out. Look for the red and white double T's on your favorite podcast platform. It's good for, you know, a short commute to work or something. Most stories are 10 to 20 minutes long at most. So this one will be a little bit longer, but that's why we're dividing it into 3 parts. So yeah, that's kind of the next big creative thing on my table in addition to, you know, grading and teaching and whatnot.
You know, the professor things.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are all the hardball questions I have for you. Is there anything else you'd like to know before we go off air today?
No, I just wanted to thank you for having me in to help me promote my music, which I'm not always great at. So I appreciate giving me the opportunity. And yeah, I'm really excited to be in my 3rd year at SEMO here and be the director of the Music Creation Technology Initiative. That's kind of part of a lot of what I've talked about today, helping students and helping myself kind of bring creative visions to life through SEMO. So yeah, thanks for letting me talk all that up.
Yeah, absolutely. You're always a delight to have in the studio. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Exposition, the Arts and Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Ella Tinsley, and I will see you next time.